My name is Cadet Petty Officer First Class Gwingon, and today's date is 31 January 2019. I'm here with
Specialist
Ryan Smith. She served in the U.S. Army Reserves. Ma'am, thank you for allowing me to interview today. Can you tell me when and where you were born?
I was born in Sabetha, Kansas, in May of 1969.
Can you tell me what life was like in Kansas?
In Kansas, it's a lot different than here. Of course there's no water lakes, right? So there's a lot of farms, and there was a lot of space between all the houses. You know, here the houses are really close. Most houses had at least an acre between the homes, and it wasn't uncommon for your friends to have horses and other stuff like that.
Yeah. So how was it like growing up there?
It was good. It was really good.
Any favorite memories?
I liked high school.
You like high school?
I liked high school.
Is that what like pushed you into the military?
Well, I really always wanted to go into the military, but honestly, I was a little bit afraid of the commitment right out of high school. So I went to college, and then 2 years into college, the first Desert Storm happened. And even though I was afraid, I just knew that my country, you know, might need me. And so I tried to get the courage to go up and enlist. And I actually got the courage to go and enlist. But I was probably not courageous to go active duty, but I knew that I could be called up if they needed me. But by the time, that was such a short conflict that by the time I was actually in basic training, it was over. So, but I was still happy to go.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you had the courage to. It takes a lot to do so. Because it's a big commitment joining the military, because you don't know what's going to happen.
It's scary because I had never been away from home, and we didn't travel a lot in Kansas. It wasn't like here where you can go 30 minutes and you're in North Carolina. Yes. The state is a big state, and idea of going somewhere else in the world scared me. And the idea of going away from home and being part of basic training honestly scared me too, because I was afraid I wasn't athletic enough and that it was going to break me. And so I was thinking I could do this, and it was a lot of gearing myself up mentally.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. So did you end up traveling a lot when you joined the military?
Well, we were a reserve unit, so we drilled on the weekends, and then we did 2 weeks in the summer, and most of our stuff that we did was in the United States. So when we did our 2 weeks, a lot of times we'd go to a different state and we would support another unit that was on leave. That's when they would give that unit leave time for vacation. And we'd go in and we'd support that unit. So I did go to Texas. I was when I was stationed in Virginia, because I was stationed two different places. I was stationed in Kansas and Virginia. When I was in Virginia, I traveled all over state here. Went to Texas in support of a unit. My unit went to Ecuador, but I didn't go because I was in college graduating at that time. So I went to PLDC instead. So
it's all right.
Yeah, it was a little disappointing.
It's okay. What motivated you to join the military?
Well, like I told you earlier, the first Gulf War was declared, and I just really felt like I had always wanted to join the military, but I really felt like if I was going to ever do it, that was the time, because I felt like my country needed me, and so I wanted to be part of that support of America.
Yes, ma'am.
And when they needed people to step up, and so that's what really motivated me.
That's what pushed you.
Yeah.
How was basic training for you? Was it hard? Was it easy? What was your biggest struggle?
I am so proud that I did it, because after I was done with basic training, I knew that nothing could ever... before I went to basic training, I thought I knew who I was. And then by the time I was done with basic training, I realized I had so much confidence in myself, because I knew that I could take on a challenge that was really hard and I could get through it. And a lot of it was physical strength, but a lot of it was heart and mental strength. And I have drawn on that my entire life. That ability to make it through that showed me that I don't need anybody to support me. I can do it all myself.
That's really empowering too, because when I grew up, I wanted to join the military after college, and I was like, in my head, it's like, how am I going to get past boot camp? How am I going to get through it? But it's good to hear, especially from a female. So, like, it's really empowering. What jobs did you serve in the military?
Well, I had, like, my MOS was kind of split. My peacetime mission, so what I did when we weren't at war, was I was part of the band. And so we did a lot of PR stuff, and we'd go out and do the parades, and we'd go out and we'd do all the celebrations of people coming back and all that other stuff.
Yes.
But we also had that other mission, if we were to deploy, that we were attached to an MP unit. So we would do perimeter guard, and we would also do POW camps. Luckily, I was never called upon to do that, but we did train for that.
I understand. So, were there any difficult parts? Like, what challenges have you faced being in the military and having a military life?
Well, that's kind of dual-sided for me, too, because I am also a military wife. So I've had the military experience and the military wife side. And the reason why I actually got out of the military, because I had all my intent to stay in, was that my husband was active duty military. And when the second Gulf War came around, I was afraid with children that we would both have to deploy.
So was it hard, like, being married with both spouses being in the military?
It was hard. It wasn't as hard when there was, like, peace, you know. He was active duty, I was a reservist. I knew he would go first. And I knew that if we were at peace, the likelihood that I would have to go would be very small. But when the second Gulf War came, we couldn't make that, we couldn't guarantee that,
yes.
You know. So we made the decision to have one of us step back. And then, of course, I chose because I was a reservist and he was active duty. But the challenges you asked me about being in the military, I think the biggest one was that for so long, especially with my generation, they expected us to be like a girl. And so I felt like when I went to basic training that I didn't know if I was going to be up to the challenge. Like, I didn't know if I was going to be able to have someone get right here in my face and put their hat right here. And
oh, so they had like the stereotypes were like, oh, you're female, you're not going to be able to get through it.
Oh, you're not strong enough, or you're emotionally, you're going to break, or, you know. I was a daddy's girl, and so lace and ribbons and dresses and all that stuff. And it was just a big switch in my head to think, to have the confidence in myself to reach deep enough to know that I could do this. And I think that was the biggest challenge, was getting around myself to get me successful.
That's empowering. Like, I love, it's uplifting for me to hear.
Yeah.
Because I'm surrounded, like, in my unit, I'm surrounded by males, and all the veterans I've been around are males, so it's like, it's really good to be hearing from them. Did you ever, like, serve in a war zone?
No.
No?
No.
While in the military, do you have, like, any memorable stories from being in your unit or going on any missions?
I mean, there are memorable ones. I think that it's not as exciting as having to be like in a war zone or anything like that. But I think the thing that I remember most is the feeling of having a family. You know what I mean?
It's yes,
like
ma'am.
There's like a there's a special bond with people who have served, even if you've never. As soon as you meet someone, you're like, I served in the military. You're automatically their brother.
It's because
sister.
You're in that, you have that respect for them.
Yes. And to me, it was like, I can go anywhere and I've got a family. And that makes me feel good. And I think that's the best memory I have. And it even extended, like, when I was a military spouse and being on the base or the post. Armies are posts, not bases. Living on the posts and having that support not only from the service members but also the families. That those families wrap their arms around each other. And truly, if something happened to one person, it happened to everybody. And it was that community that I really remember the most.
That's good. What valuable lessons has being in the service taught you?
Before I went in, I thought that I needed other people to tell me how good I was. But after I was there, I realized that I set my own bar.
Wow. Like that. Like, hearing all this, it makes me happy.
Yeah.
Describe your transition from military to civilian life. So how was it having to leave the reserves and watch over your kids while your husband was away?
It was hard because I was a little bit envious.
Because you know, you wanted to be in there too.
I wanted to be there too,
yes.
You know, but I knew that in a way I was still supporting the mission because of the choices I was making too.
Yes.
I think the hard part when we both left the military was we actually went from living on a post to being stationed in Pennsylvania, and there's not a lot of military up there, and it wasn't a very military supportive area like this area is.
Yes.
And so it was really weird not to have feel like your neighborhood had your back.
Yeah, I understand. Because it's like no one can really relate, so
yeah.
It's hardy.
Yep.
I understand. If given the opportunity, would you serve in the military again?
I would probably go active duty in high school
instead of pushing it off.
Yeah. If I let people talk me out of it, and that goes back to me saying that I let other people define my paths and define my strengths instead of letting myself define my path. I actually, it was funny because my dad was the biggest opponent to me.
Yes.
And when I did enlist, I enlisted and then I called him after I'd signed the paperwork. Because I didn't want him to talk me out
that's
of it.
That's something I would do though. Because my dad, like, I was talking to my parents and I was like, I might join the Marines.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, you're not.
Yep.
I was like, yes, I am. They're like, they're crazy. Like, you can't get, you're female, you can't do it.
I See, was and like, that's what I was getting. It. But now knowing what I know about myself, I would try and be more courageous and just say it and hear what they had to say and say thank you very much, but I wouldn't do it anyway. But my dad would tell you now, if he was sitting here next to me, he would tell you that he's proud of me and he saw me grow in strength that he didn't know I had. And he has told me that. So that makes me happy too, because he didn't see me as somebody who couldn't take care of himself. And when I came back, he saw me as someone who could take care of herself.
Yes. Is there anything in particular you'd like to say to the next generation of service members?
I would like to hope that you guys can find the courage to know, especially your generation, who kind of is such a Facebook generation,
yes,
and you guys look to each other on social media to figure out how many likes you get and how important things are.
Yes, ma'am.
Look inside yourself and find your strength, because nobody knows what's here but you, and you have more here than what you know.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule today. I know you must have a busy life.
Actually, I work here at Salem, so.
Oh, you do? Yeah. Are you a teacher?
I was a teacher here, but now I do something else in the building, but yes.
Oh, I never see you.
I know, because I'm on the other side of the building.
All right. Your story will live on for your family.
Yep.
I'm glad that I was like, it's a good story to hear, and I salute you, man.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
I wish you luck. Be courageous.